Gospel reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, we will make 3 booths here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when, lo, a bright cloud overshadowed them. A voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were filled with awe. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord. Transitions are all around us. Winter is becoming spring, kind of bouncing back and forth a little bit these days, but it's on its way. David Bowser is becoming our associate pastor, and Epiphany is becoming Lent. These transitions are hinge points, a place where a door is opening or closing. We're not sure, but things are changing. Sometimes we don't even notice those hinge points until they're past. Other times, we know it right when we're in it. This is it. It's changing. Transfiguration Sunday, this last Sunday in Epiphany, is a hinge point. It is a transitional moment in time. Liturgical seasons are in the process of changing. We're anticipating Lent, and then Holy Week, Palm Sunday, Easter, but we're not there yet. What do we do with these hinge points in our lives? We lived overseas for a number of years. Our first country was Norway, and all of our memories tend to be keyed to places where we were living rather than the ages or years that they were. Certain foods awake a memory in us, and this is one of them. Norske vafler with sour cream and strawberry jelly. This time of year, they really start to show up, along with fastelavnsboller and smultringer, which we call donuts. They evoke not only the memory, but the feeling of the times. They remind us of family breakfast and what it was like to sit around the table. Our afternoon coffee with our new Norwegian friends, our parties with friends who have now become family. God calls Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, those are Aaron's sons, and 70 of the elders to worship at Mount Sinai. God had brought the people out of Egypt for the express purpose of worshiping him. And here they are. They've been traveling about 6 weeks. They hit Mount Sinai, and God calls them into worship. They get ready. Moses gets the people ready by offering some sacrifices, by asking the people to confirm the covenant. He sprinkles them with the blood of the covenant and atonement. Then Moses, Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and those 70 elders head up the mountain where they eat and drink and see God and worship. Then filled up, God calls Moses on up the mountain. And Moses goes, not until he's left behind Aaron and Ur to be with the people while he's gone, but he goes. And the cloud of the glory of the presence of the Lord settles on the mountain. For 6 days, they watch and Moses is waiting. And then, on the seventh day, which we remember as the day that God rested from creation, on that seventh day, God calls to Moses out of the cloud of the presence, and Moses, their leader, steps from the human realm into the sphere of God. And they don't see him for a long, long time. They settle down to wait. They are in a hinge moment. These hinge moments can feed us and sustain us. Eating with other people is different than eating on your own. There's conversation and laughter, as well as good food. Moses and the leaders saw God and were literally fed with a covenant meal. That experience sticks with them as they wait for their leader to come back down. Maybe not as long as it should have, but it does for at least a while. We too are fed with a covenant meal every week. Every week, we gather for conversation and laughter and love around a table. Every week, we have a way station in our journey through life. And every week, we face a hinge point, a transfiguration, a place to transform, a place to connect, a place to recommit to the journey and wait for the next steps. What about those hinge points in our lives? Trinidad and Tobago, today is a big day. We live there as well, and today is Dimanche Gras. This is the day that Carnival begins. People have been waiting for this day for a year since the last time Carnival ended. They're going to play Mass. They're going to play it today, tomorrow, Tuesday, through sore feet, through dehydration, through hunger, through exhaustion. They're going to have a good time. That's what they're going to do. They are intent upon it. They are determined. They are going to play Mass. After 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up on a mountain. After 6 days. What happened before this? 6 days ago, Peter made his confession. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says, you are blessed because man has not revealed this to you, but God. Then Jesus starts telling him the plan. Here's what we're going to do, folks. We're going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die. And I'm going to be raised up again. Okay, this does not fit with Peter's idea of what the Son of God, the Messiah, is. So he rebukes Jesus and tells him, no way. No way. Jesus says, Peter, sorry, only way. And then he goes on to tell them, all of them, all the disciples, if you want to follow me, you've got to deny yourself, take up your cross, and put one step in front of the other, following. But some of you here will not die before you see the kingdom come. Now, here they are, 6 days later, on a high mountain, and what do they see but Jesus shining in all the glory that a Messiah should have. And if they missed the point, with him are Moses and Elijah. Moses, who brought the people out of slavery in Egypt. Moses, who received the law. Moses, who spent 40 days and nights up there in God's presence. Moses, who whenever he would leave God's presence, his face would shine like the sun. Moses, and Elijah. Elijah, the prophet who doesn't die, the one who goes up to heaven in a whirlwind, a chariot of fire. Elijah, the one told to come before the Messiah, the prophet who will usher in the Messianic age. Jesus is revealed as Messiah, confirmed by the presence of Moses and Elijah, and Peter knows exactly what to do. He's got a plan. There's a protocol for this. You build booths. You build some shelters. You know, you stay here. You get things going. This is it. All right, time for the kingdom. Let's get the committee together. Oh, look, they're here. Let's start writing the mission statement. Let's get the vision going. We got a plan. Let's assign tasks. Let's get going. Let's go. Hinge moments can excite us and get us moving. The sense that things are changing is invigorating, gives us lots of energy, and we feel strong and ready for whatever challenge is coming. We can take on the world. We never want to lose that feeling, so we start making the plan of how to keep it, how to stay on top of that mountain, maybe even, you know, be in charge of this whole thing. We have a plan for it. Transfiguration can leave us making plans too. We know what we want to do. We're going to go through Lent. We want to promote the kingdom. All the top folks are here. All the signs are clear. Now is the time, and we are the people. What do you do with the hinge moments in your life? China is a whole different country. That was our third country. The language, the food, the philosophy, there is nothing you can hang a candle on. There were a lot of aha moments, epiphanies during our first few months, but our first trip to the zoo gave us a clue as to something we were going to experience over and over and over again. We went to see the pandas. Now, many of us have been to zoos where they advertise a panda and it's one of those little red dudes. No, we were going to see the black and white pandas, you know, the pandas, the real pandas. While we were going to see the pandas, the Chinese were discovering us. We began to realize we were being followed. And out of the corners of your eyes, you'd see a camera come up, take a picture. Out of the side, you'd see somebody's little kid getting pushed. So they were just in the picture. Then one family got brave enough. They had a new baby. They wanted a picture of that baby with my blonde-haired, blue-eyed children. So through signs, they asked if they could take a picture. We agreed. The kids were thrilled. They got to play with the baby, and they got this huge fruit we had never seen, which is a pear apple, and it's absolutely delightful. Pandas, schmandas, man. If I go in are the thing to see at the zoo, the foreigners. Peter is still speaking, still making his plans when God interrupts. This is my son, the beloved. With him, I am well pleased. Listen to him. God speaks, and the three disciples up there having their mountaintop experience are absolutely terrified. They fall to the ground. I expect they hide their faces. They're shaking with fear. They are unable to move. They can't do anything coherent. And Jesus comes to them. He touches them. And he says, be raised up. Don't be afraid. And when they look up, all they see is Jesus. The regular, plain old, everyday Jesus they know. Not the shiny, adrenaline-fueled Messiah. Just Jesus. And they all start back down the mountain to the others. Hinge moments can challenge us. They can be terrifying. We don't know what's going to happen next. How can we? We've never been here before. We're so afraid we can't move in any direction. We're petrified, frozen in fear. There's nothing we can do for ourselves anymore. The excitement and the energy are fantastic until we realize we are in the presence of the Holy Lord God. This is not an experience we can control. This is not a tame God we can control. This is something so outside our human sphere that we fall to the ground and try to hide from it. And Jesus comes to us. Jesus touches us in our fear. He speaks. Be raised up. Don't be afraid. And we come alive. We come alive at his presence, his touch, his voice. We are raised up, not through any power of our own, but by the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. This is the Jesus we know. And this is the Jesus we don't know at all. What do we do with the hinge points in our lives? We don't know what tomorrow brings any more than Peter, James, or John knew what tomorrow would bring. They saw Jesus in his glory, in his true nature. They heard the voice of God, but then Jesus was just Jesus again. No longer transfigured, no longer shining, no longer conversing with those great heroes of the past. So they come down from the mountain. And on the way, Jesus tells them not to talk about what they've seen until after he has been raised from the dead. See, Jesus is already the Son of God, the Son of Man. But he's not yet raised from the dead. Well, he's not yet died. Jesus is himself at a hinge point. He is moving from the transfiguration now on steadily toward Jerusalem, towards the fulfillment of his mission. Jesus is already the Messiah, but the kingdom is not yet fulfilled. We too are already the saved children of God, but we are not yet raised up from death to eternal life. The hinge points, these already but not yet moments, are transcendent, shining, and yet at the same time, clouded. They move us from one reality to another. They feed us, they sustain us, they excite us, they get us moving, they challenge us, terrify us. They raise us up. We look back on them as we move forward, and we see that through them all, we were not alone. We are not alone. God is there at every hinge moment in our lives, and God is here today at this hinge moment. Christ is here. The Spirit is here, sustaining, exciting, challenging, and raising. We're not the caterpillar anymore. But we're also not yet the butterfly. We can't stay on the mountain, and there's only one way to go from here. There's only one way to become the butterfly. The caterpillar has to die. There is only one way to the glory of resurrection. That is through the suffering and death of the cross. But we don't go there alone, none of us. And the cross is not the end of the journey. It's only another hinge point.